Foot and mouth disease, also known as FMD, is a viral disease that affects cloven-hoofed animals. Even a single outbreak of FMD has massive economic implications for any country, and while the EU is virus-free for the moment, FMD is circulating in countries around Europe in approximately 100 countries in Africa, the Middle East, and large parts of Eurasia. The European Union and FAO have recently stepped up efforts to assist countries in preparing for any possible outbreaks. But to explain more, we have FAO's FMD expert, Keith Sumption, on the phone in London. He is Secretary of the European Commission for Control of Foot and Mouth Disease. Mr. Sumption, thank you for joining me.
It's a pleasure.
How serious is the threat of FMD to Europe?
Well, it's a serious threat because of several factors. One is that the areas where foot and mouth disease circulates are areas around the southern Mediterranean. Some of them have been highly affected by insecurity over the last few years. The situations in Libya, for example, the breakdown following the change of government had a big impact. Animals started to move, we think, across the southern borders of Libya from the Sahel countries, from Sudan across to West Africa, moved into areas of Libya and Egypt and introduced strains into the European neighborhood. Plus, on the other side, the situation in Syria, in Iraq, has been very detrimental to control, and that has led to difficulties spreading on into Egypt, and some strains from the Middle East have arrived as far west as Algeria. The threats change from month to month, and we really cannot predict well which part of the world will be a source for Europe.
And has FMD ever been found in Europe before?
Yes. In fact, every European country, with I think the exception of Iceland, has had outbreaks. Europe was endemic, had disease almost every year up until the early 60s.
How was it controlled?
Well, in the 50s and the 60s, that was a period when vaccination became, for most European countries, the main way of preventing it. They realized they could hardly control the scale of outbreaks that involved perhaps 500,000 farms in a year in some countries, so they couldn't slaughter the animals in those situations. And so preventive vaccination was used up until the end of the 1980s. But since 1990, the European Union policy has been non-vaccination. But there are situations in which that can run out of control because that is an extremely expensive, difficult business to do well. So there's been a lot of demand from many sectors to have more use of vaccination in emergencies. So now the European position is that countries are very much free to choose, and that's a decision for the countries to take.
What would the potential agricultural and economic impacts of an outbreak be if it were to happen now?
Every new outbreak, whether it's one single case or hundreds of cases, has quite a severe impact because the impacts are very much more than the direct losses caused the illness. The impacts relate to the barriers that are placed upon that country and that region of a country in terms of trade, and broadly speaking can also affect other European countries because third parties may not wish to trade with Europe and may take it as a reason to stop trading. Even though there are very sophisticated regional mechanisms in place in Europe. So the impacts are actually quite long-term on countries, even if the outbreak is controlled in a matter of weeks. The impacts can roll on for several years.
And in terms of preventative measures, what's being done now to protect European countries from a potential outbreak?
There is, and has been for some time, a strong set of international sanitary code measures which are in place to prevent the entry of infected sources into European Union countries. And those ones have largely been effective. But of course, there are always risks that they'll be circumvented by individual actions. So our task is perhaps more to help our member states. We have 37 member states across the European region. And we help each of them with their contingency planning and preparation, including making sure that the veterinary service has people who have recent experience of seeing the disease and knowing what to do on immediate cases, through to the management and organization, the crisis control that they need to have, and how they test preparedness. And for that, for example, in the last week, we organized a multi-country simulation exercise to test the preparedness of three countries in the Balkan region for their immediate crisis management capacity.
And how did the simulations go? Were there areas of work identified?
Yes, plenty. We saw quite a lot of evidence that immediately they were writing down lists of priorities for updating and changes that they need to take place. I think if you haven't experienced a very fast moving disease like foot and mouth disease, it's quite hard to understand the need to have high levels of preparedness. But a simulation helps to identify that people need to know their roles and responsibilities because the pressures can be quite extreme quite quickly.
Mr. Sumption, thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure.